Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Third hour, hour number three here on Tiki and Tierney. We're coming to you from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Challenging times, Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. So if you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7. They're available. Just go to rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. All right, so I want to do something on quarterbacks, the old Jedi reaching out to the young ones here in a little bit of a Yoda fashion. But I just saw this on social media. This is worth dropping in here. Got a little timeline. Not a Woj bomb, but Kinsley's dressed up as Dorothy here. I can't bring you on the air today, baby, but you look adorable. Adorable. She's outside my window. Hi, baby. It doesn't end, buddy. Every day's Halloween here, pal. You know what I mean? Every day's Halloween.
She might grow out of a little bit. Tegan started to do, by about, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, started to stop being every day.
She's even holding a little Toto doll. Oh, this is absolutely adorable. God. Anyway, so Woj had a little tweet before, a couple of minutes ago. ESPN sources, as the NBA models a 22-team format for July 31 resumption in Orlando, the proposed timeline for teams is the last possible date for an NBA Finals Game 7 would be October 12th. So you're trying to get a little more sense of the timeline here, the clarity of the restrictions and what they're pursuing. October 12th is what they're chasing.
That's 4 months from now, BT.
It's 4 months.
That's not a lot of time to complete a regular season. If they're going to do that, go that route and get into the postseason and play 7-game series each, unless they adjust it, because you know how that's usually set. Like, so it's a set time. As soon as the series ends, if a team finishes and sweeps and you got to wait for seven, it takes forever sometimes because there's like 3 or 4 off days. Now,
gone. There's no way they could do
it's
that.
It's got to be fluid, right? It's got to be fluid. There's no other way to do it. But then you get into this fairness conversation again. You know, is it fair that one team's going to, you know, have to wait, another team's going to have to play right away? It's you don't get to prepare. It's a little bit different with the 7-game series. Yeah, they still got a lot of logistics to work out and not a lot of time to do it.
All right, so I just saw that. Yeah.
There's no like clarity on why that was the end date, right?
Just a statement. Not that I saw. Hold on. Yeah. Let me see if he had a backloaded tweet where there was a little context. Maybe, let's see. He's tweeted twice in the last hour here. 2 minutes. All right, the NBA, this is the most recent one. The NBA Board of Governors has a Thursday meeting. They're set for a vote on a finalized plan to restart the season. The league is still working. All right, that's
till
just
Thursday,
about.
Till 2 days from
now. They're voting
Thursday.
Yeah.
So we'll get an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like we've been waiting a long time for NBA. They started having conversations much sooner than some of these other ones, the other leagues, but it still feels like we're waiting a long time.
True, but they also pushed back their timelines very quickly. So we weren't left hanging.
Yeah,
it was like, it was a target date, and then once that was viewed as unrealistic, which was very early, boom, bump it back 2 or 3 weeks. Boom, bump it back. Now, what was, if I recall, May 1st was the initial target for the openings of the facilities, and then that was immediately pushed back to May 8th. So I think they've done a pretty good job of keeping, I don't know, of keeping a manageable time frame and keeping people engaged with their product, which is paramount, but but also not creating false hope. And I thought they've navigated this pretty well.
Yeah, I think you're right. For the most part, I think you're right. Now we just want to see some basketball.
Oh, yeah, we do. We want to see some hoops. We definitely want to see some basketball. That's for sure. We want to see some football. We want to see everything. We want to see these young quarterbacks assert themselves in a way that they maybe have yet to do, whether it's Kyler Murray. We all know the names. Josh Allen trying to get even better. Baker, big season. Darnold, big season. Lamar trying to defend the championship, the MVP. Mahomes trying to defend the championship. Young quarterbacks all over the NFL right now. And Peyton Manning is taking on a unique role. A mentorship.
Yeah, advisor.
Which is why an advisor. Every time we've talked about Peyton, and I get it, and I know you know his wife, he went to school with her, and you certainly would have a sense of what he thinks much more than I would. But I always thought, as much as, yeah, he wants to go where the money is, I get that. But to me, I've always thought that he enjoyed teaching. I'm not saying he's going to be a coach. I would never, mm-hmm. He's not going to be a coach. But maybe, and this is an example, and I know you can elaborate on it, what he's doing now. Maybe another example of why, maybe being a GM, I don't know, maybe that is in his wheelhouse. So eventually an owner, of course.
It just feels like that's what he would be good at. You think about his skill set. We've talked about this before, how he relates to everyone. It doesn't matter if you're the CEO of a company, you're the 54th man on a 53rd man on a team. Well, actually, they up that. It's now 57, right?
Yes, 57.
So it's like you're the 57th guy on the team. You can talk to Peyton Manning, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And he'll relate to you. He'll have a joke for you. He'll bring some levity. But also, there's this very real seriousness about what he does and what he does for a living. And, you know, as much fun as he used to like to have on game day, and we all remember it with the Omaha and, you know, jacking around because everybody assumed they knew what Omaha was, and then he'd throw in other words and other, you know, just things to throw you off. It was almost in jest, but it was dead ass serious, right? There's a capacity to him. As a teacher, as a consumer, not a consumer, but like a distributor of information, that makes him so compelling, BT. And so mm-hmm. when I
it's
hear
funny
this,
too, he is. He's relatable. I like him.
So when I hear this story that he's advising young quarterbacks, you obviously want to dial in and say, all right, what's he telling them? And it's interesting because what he's saying, and I think all quarterbacks know this, but young quarterbacks are probably not aware that they need to do it yet. Basically, he said, look, when Eli was the Giants quarterback, you know, he would take the initiative to have interactions with his players outside of what the coaches wanted him to do. And right now, as we're in this, you know, learn by Zoom world that we're living in, including the NFL, he's saying to these young quarterbacks, all right, just because you have a team meeting or a coaches held meeting at 5 o'clock, whenever it may be, doesn't mean that at 7 o'clock you can't dial up your wide receivers and tight ends and have some conversations and just talk football. Because mm-hmm. what else are you doing? you're supposed to be socially distant. You're not hanging out at the club, right? You're around your family. You just take the initiative. And I think that's smart. It's exactly what we see with Tom Brady down in Tampa, where he's out at these private schools throwing the ball around with his wide receivers. He takes the initiative, and that's the only way that you can advance as a quarterback in the NFL. You're not going to get better by just chilling and hanging out at home and relaxing. You only get better by doing. And I think he's encouraging them. He's the right voice to tell these young quarterbacks to do that.
I got a question for you. What do you think would be more productive, big picture? Mm-hmm. A well-organized series of Zoom sessions.
Okay.
Or, you know, a hastily / sloppily arranged workout sessions with the flesh.
With the football and everything
else. With
the
football.
The latter.
Even if there's no real coordination, no diagrams, no...
No doubt about it. Okay. No doubt about it.
Why though?
Because think about how, like, non-linear football is. It is, obviously, because you're going 90 yards.
It's literally linear.
It's literally, but you're going 100 yards, but... Just think about any play. Like, when was the last time, maybe Gronk going down the seam on a
where Tyreek Hill just running by somebody?
Yeah, exactly. When there's a shell coverage and those two safeties are like running towards the sideline.
Yep.
You just have a guy just shooting right down the middle of the field. But how often does that happen? Like any play requires angles and movement and, you know, bodying into somebody and making an awkward catch. And then, like, you can't replicate that by looking at it on like a diagram. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like, this is what you're supposed to do. It never is going to look like that. It's funny because this question, BT, it takes me back to, you know, when Coach Pope, who was our tight end coach, who I've talked a lot about, one of the great ones in the NFL, and, you know, Mouse, Coach McNally, and Sean Payton, like, they're drawing up plays, and it's like they're calling them. I can't use the word because we're not on cable. Mm-hmm. But I can't use the word.
Well, we're on cable.
Like, yeah, you know what I mean. But we're not on that cable. So
different rules during the pandemic, Tiki. Honestly, you can say whatever you want.
But it's basically just we'll call them Fulham plays. We'll call them Fulham plays. Yep. And so they're drawing up these plays. We're just going to bunch everybody up to the right side, three wide receivers. We're going to bunch, and then we're going to call two plays in the huddle. It's going to be toss 37. You know, I forget what the mix word was, but, you know, or, you know, 36, sprint 36, right? Mm-hmm. And so where he's all this stuff up. It's like, if this happens, then wide receiver, you got to block down and you got to get the edge. The other guy, you're going to pull around, you're going to get the corner. And then the third guy and the fullback, you're going to lead up on the Mike linebacker. The other one, you're just going to be the cleanup guy. And I'm watching, I remember like seeing these drawings. I'm like, that is not going to happen that way. Right? There's no way that a linebacker is just going to stand there and say, okay, wide receiver, block me. I'm not reading this at all. But in order to execute it, you got to go do it, right? And here's the prime example. So we ran this exact play that I was describing. We ran against the Washington Redskins. It was at the end of my career. And Sean O'Hara, we pulled the center. So the center snaps the ball and he pulls out. Usually you pull a guard, but we pulled the center. And he's supposed to go inside the tackle, right? But the tackle gets washed down. So he keeps his guy and gets washed down. So now Sean's like running out in front of me. I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? As I'm running like, dude, you're going
toward the sideline.
Yeah, exactly. He's going towards the sideline. I'm you're not supposed to be right here, right? You're not. And so I push him, right? And I don't know who he ended up blocking, but he hit somebody, mm-hmm. and it created a lane. And so I scoot through the lane and go 52 yards for a touchdown. And so I'm thinking, that's not how we drew this up. There's no way that it was going to work. But the reason that it did work is because we had executed it so many times correctly, mm-hmm. that when it goes awry, everybody just kind of figures it out.
Gotcha.
Right? And doing something on paper is fantastic. It's awesome. Like, you got to learn at some point. Mm-hmm. But until you execute it, you have no chance of actually doing it in real time, especially in a game like football, which is not linear, even though it is linear.
I figured that was your answer, but I wanted to throw it by it. Now, I'm going to ask you something that I asked former players long time ago, and mm-hmm. I needed to know the answer, and I wasn't too shy to ask. I think there's a lot of people who have always wondered this, and I think, you know, since there's no game to talk about right now and we got the serious stuff out of the way, mm-hmm. I'll give you about a minute or two, maybe even a little bit more, to really expound on this, because I think a lot of people are curious, but they either don't have somebody that they could ask, like I do, obviously, or if they did, they would feel a little embarrassed. Like, how do you not know that? And I'm gonna ask it. You ready?
Go ahead.
We call the play in the huddle. 32, scat, Z on two. Ready, break. Boom.
Yep.
All right, so everybody break. You disperse. You get out to your spot. You're a wide receiver. I think a lot of people struggle to know exactly the timing between the release of the ball and the receiver anticipating the play. And the reason I say that, just let me set it up for you so people know where I'm going. Then it's all you. Because, you know, I didn't play. I played 2 years of football. I was horrendous. They put me on the offensive line when I was 10 years old. I wasn't strong. I hated it. I got knocked around. It stunk. But I played quarterback in the street because I could throw. And in the street, it was always like, hey, 10 steps to the Chevy, you know, run to the telephone pole. I'm going to deke it. I'm going to pump fake it. Then you go deep on a post. I'm going to fling it 30 yards. Like, you would have, like, you would measure the steps, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would count that it was one Mississippi, two. So as I drop back as the quarterback and the guy in front of me, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. I'm looking at my guy, T-Rat, you know, who's running the post or the fly pattern. I'm one, two, three. I'm counting.
As
a receiver. How do you know exactly when the ball is coming?
It's interesting because it's not dissimilar to that, BT. So when you think about like a slant, I'll keep it very basic. Wide receiver is on the line of scrimmage. He has his inside foot up. There's a reason. It's specific. You have to have your inside foot up because you're taking three steps. So outside foot, inside foot, outside foot. You have to have that outside foot as your third plant step because you can't cut in off of your inside foot. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep, totally.
Right? So it's you have to have your inside foot up. So one, two, three, cut.
Boom.
Right? The reason it's three steps is because the quarterback is doing the same thing. He is hut, one, two, three, and he's back on his plant foot, and the ball should be coming out. So it's really timing. And
but what about 15 yards down the field?
It's the same thing. And so you'll see a quarterback.
Take us through that.
So you'll see a quarterback. Let's say it's a
seven-step drop.
Let's say it's like a 12-yard dig. It's the same thing. You have to have your inside foot up because the quarterback's going to be on a five-step drop. And so wide receiver is one, two, three, four, five, and then he's digging. And the quarterback is one, two, three, four, five. He hits that fifth step. The ball's ready to come out. Now, it doesn't always come out. You know what I mean? If it's covered, it's like scramble rule. Now, the scramble rule for a quarterback is to stand there for a minute. I got another read, usually an overtop throw or a check down or whatever it may be. If neither of those open, that's when guys like Russell Wilson are so valuable because he just starts moving. Right. And he doesn't really leave the pocket, but he starts moving and finding like angles to waiting for his wide receivers who have all practiced these scramble rules. Right. One is coming down. One is going deep. You know what I mean? One is, you know, crossing the field. So you're trying to create new angles for the quarterback to find a way to throw the football. And the good ones do it really well. But again, you're not seeing that on paper. Right. You can't instruct scramble rules on a piece of paper. You can't just say, oh, this is what we're going to do, right? You got to see it. You got to understand how defenses are going to react once a play hits its fifth or seventh step and is broken down, so to speak.
And how quickly your receivers will deviate from their patterns and come to you.
Look, how many
find
times
the soft spot?
That's right. How many times? Next time you watch a football game, BT, watch when the play hits like scramble point. Watch how many players just stand.
They don't
move. They're just like... They're like, give me a ball. Like, dude, you're not getting the ball because there's a guy standing right behind you. You know, that's going to see it. By the time the ball gets to you, it's going the other way. You're not getting the football. The receivers that get the football, like Julian Edelman, like Wes Welker in his day, like some of these really good scramble wide receivers, they know how to move to where their quarterback is going to find them open. Tyreek Hill is the perfect example, and I'll never forget that. Two seasons ago, Lamar Jackson was beating the Kansas City Chiefs, and Patty Mahomes was under pressure, scrambling to his right. They had a scramble drill. Tyreek Hill, 40 yards downfield, is running away from his defender. Patty Mahomes puts it on the money, and that's how they end up winning the game, right? It's something that you – it's like backyard football. It is exactly what you're talking about, but it's not by accident.
I got it. I mean, I don't think it's very dissimilar from, you know, a double play combo up the middle. I mean, if you have a second baseman and a shortstop that have played for a long time,
that's right.
You know, just where the ball is going to be flipped when I don't mean the conventional two hopper. Let me just feed you because it's simple. It's a tailor-made double play. If I got to go to my left and I'm coming up and, you know, I just know where you're going to be. I'm going to put it here. I'm going to put it here, and I could adjust and adapt to that or help you out in a way.
So it's like an art. Right?
Yep.
It's more art than it is, you know, a taught, learned skill.
Okay. I just wanted to have you break that down because it's I know it's complex, but it's not as complex as I think we make it out to be sometimes.
Now, it's true.
The complexity is, or the physical complexity is something that only 1% of the population can do.
That's right.
But in terms of understanding it, we could all understand it. It's just a matter of asking the right question. I think a lot of people and it's obviously a basic component of football, but I think a lot of people over the years struggle to know, if they even think about it in those terms, the timing mechanisms involved in actually throwing the football. Good stuff. All right, we'll get a little timeout. Tiki and Tierney here, third hour rolling through. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Got the blast coming up. And a question for the NFL that some people are calling for. Should they do it? We'll tell you what it is and what they might be wrestling with next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So, Teek, there's a growing belief, and I got to be honest, I get it. I understand the fear of some of the owners of the mid to smaller market NBA teams voicing this growing fear and reluctance to not have them a part of the resumption of the season. Basically, they're expressing fear that, hey, you know, okay, so you have 22 teams come back, whatever, it's probably going to be 22, but 22 teams come back. And that's all well and good, but what about us who, you know, have always kind of struggled to connect to, you know, a vibrant season ticket base and you know, to constantly fill the arena unless we're really good. We've kind of scuffled with that. It's not good business for us to disappear for, in essence, you know, 8, 9, 10 months, whatever it equates to. And I got to be honest with you, it's a legitimate voicing of concern.
It is, and I wonder... You know, like we have this conversation about Major League Baseball and if they don't come back this season. Now, we don't think that's going to ultimately come to fruition, that they are going to play baseball. But if it didn't, think how it's turned off fans are going to be, because it ultimately would be about money. Now, this isn't about money per se with these smaller market NBA teams. It's about they just haven't been successful. So when the season resumes and they're you know, and it's just the postseason teams that they're excluded, it's going to be a really long time. Now, interestingly, I would think it's the opposite because, look, their team, whether they were good or bad, it doesn't matter. Their fans are craving them, and they're not going away because they're being cheap, you know what I mean? Or they're it's not a financial, you know, like decision. It's very different than what we're talking about with baseball, which basically would be we can't come to an agreement, therefore we're not playing because we can't agree on the money. That's not what this would be. This would be more, you know, the circumstances of the coronavirus have made it so that we can't finish our regular season, therefore there's no basketball, so that when it comes back in 2021, they'll be actually more eager for it, right? There's no blame to be passed around. I understand, like, because there's no local revenue coming in, like there's no games being played locally, and I don't know how their local revenues are determined, but there's a big hit that's going to happen there. But I think from a fan standpoint, it actually probably helps them in some ways.
Well, here's a little look behind the curtain. Let's see. For those teams left out of the playoffs, there's already been dialogue on the possibility of mandatory summer training camps and regional fall leagues of 4 to 5 teams that could bridge the lengthy gap between seasons, sources told ESPN. Those are ideas many teams consider vital, and there's an expectation that the NBA will raise possible scenarios such as these with the Players Association. By the way, this was raised by the owner of the Clay Bennett of the Thunder, who owns the Thunder. And he basically talks about the competitive and financial plights of the smaller to mid-market teams that could be left out of this resumption of the season now.
Yeah.
And I understand it. You know, I think that, you know, listen, there's certain teams, like, again, as horrendous as the Knicks have been, whenever the NBA season starts back up, the place will be full. Whenever the Celtics season picks back up, boom, Sixer fans locked in. Warrior fans, they're good to go. Lakers, good. Spurs fans will be engaged. Denver Nugget fans will be ready to roll. Raptor fans are good to go. But there's a lot more that are good to go. But there's a few that need more prodding and need more stimulation, like the Memphis Grizzlies fans.
Yeah.
I mean, there's thoughts about maybe relocation there. I don't know how strong that is, but, you know, it's been whispered. And you've got to find a way to maintain engagement. And again, it's not about making money. Sure, you don't want to keep losing money.
Yeah.
But it's about just being visible and having that connection, that bridge to be able to walk back to
when
the game comes back.
Well, I wonder when you – because as you were reading that, BT, I was thinking to myself – you know, these mandatory summer camps, is it so that you can open it to the public and, you know, in some ways, like, mimic the product on, like, a really small level?
I think it's probably more for TVT. It's probably going to be like the NBA Summer League, which obviously is not happening, which, by the way, was becoming a pretty big thing.
Of course it was. I used to never watch it, but now I watch it. I want to watch it now.
I remember watching the NBA Summer League. This is how long ago it was, when Anthony Mason was playing on the Summer League team for the Knicks. And guys that were trying to – yeah, I mean, I've always been a huge NBA Summer League guy. You know that. Mm-hmm. I went to a couple. I lived in Vegas. But it grew from, you know, relative anonymity to – It's all over. It's on ESPN. Yep. I mean, it's basically sold out. It's kind of an extravaganza. And
yeah.
It's great.
It's like it's like training camp for these young kids that we don't get to see. So we start to see these one-and-done 18-year-old kids. This is why I started watching. It's not why you started watching it, because you're just a basketball junkie. But I started watching it because some of these young kids – like, I have no idea. They have what it takes. This kid is 172 pounds. Right? There's no way he's banging around in the NBA. Let me watch the summer league to see if he has a shot. So it just became an interesting way to see like whether they had the ability to immediately evolve from a college game to an NBA game. But I think what you're saying is that they can use that template to bridge some of the revenue loss from not being included in the backside of this regular season, and push it forward a little bit till next season, preseason.
I mean, let's.
I think it's smart. I think in some cases it's the only way that they're going to narrow that revenue gap in some regard. And you know what? Honestly, the players will probably embrace it.
I agree.
Because look, we know this. Basketball players are It's the one sport where you just like, let's go ball, man, right? I don't need like an organized, I need the NBA, obviously, because of the cash, but I don't need the NBA to, you know, encourage me to go out and shoot basketball and play and compete. These guys want to do this all the time anyways. Mm-hmm. So I think in some ways they might embrace this.
I'll tell you what, you know, if it is 22 teams, and again, they'll vote on this on Thursday, and it looks like it's going to be 22 teams, and some of the teams that are left out in the cold right now, like, I forget about the Warriors. That's 15 and 50 is an anomaly.
That's
they got the beautiful building. They're gonna be great next season. All right. Mm-hmm. Then you look at teams like the Bulls. They'll probably have a new coach and they'll get Markkanen the ball in a better spot. They've got a couple of good guards. Coby White. You know I love him. Love him at Carolina. I know R.J. Barrett and some of those young Knicks. Mitchell. They're itching to get back on the court. The Atlanta Hawks have I don't know how the Hawks were 20-47 this year. I actually thought the Hawks had a chance to surprise some people. Maybe get the 8th seed with Trae Young, etc. The Cavaliers have Sexton. They have Garland. I'm not saying that they're the answers, but they have a couple of young guards that are worth watching. The Timberwolves have some young players. They've got seemingly a happy Karl Anthony Towns now. The Phoenix Suns have a roster. We've been saying this for years. Eventually, they got to start winning. But the Suns have.
I don't get them. They're the one team I just can't comprehend.
They should be better. They should be better. 26 and 39. But the point is that a lot of the teams who would not be invited, if it is 22 out of 30. So the 8 teams looking on the outside in, you would think they would be motivated to get out there and play ball. They're young.
Yeah, exactly. They're young. Other than the Warriors, all those teams that you just mentioned are young. Mm-hmm. They have young talent that, you know, they're not going to be hurt by playing some more basketball. Let's put it that way.
Nope. All right, Teak, let's get the update for Mac. We'll see what's cooking there. A little blast action on the other side after that. Axe update. Rich, how you doing, by the way, Ack? You good today?
I'm hanging in there. Yourself?
Ack, we got to make sure we make sure he hasn't lost his mind yet as he's cooped up in his apartment. By the way, and on a serious note.
Actually, I've moved.
You moved? Where'd you move?
I didn't move. I just moved my location.
Your apartment. I see.
No. I've come to Brooklyn. So.
Are you with your mom?
Oh, I see. I gotcha.
I've come to help out a little.
Attaboy. So. How's mom feeling?
I have not moved my place of residence. But
how's mom feeling?
She's doing all right. A lot better since I'm here. So
good. Attaboy. Attaboy. So when did you leave Manhattan, by the way?
Sunday, thankfully.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay. Gotcha. I guess you missed everything. Lucky from pretty much everything. Yeah. Lucky for you. But hopefully your apartment's still there when you get back.
Yeah. No, seriously.
What a disaster. What a mess.
Yeah, hope you stay safe out there, Ax. Seriously. No joke aside. New York City.
Well. Nope. All right, Ack's update is right now, and we'll come back. We'll get the blast, as I said before. Ackerman's update. This portion of Tiki and Tierney is brought to you by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, there's Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus over 24/7 customer support and product specialists always ready to answer any question, call, or visit Grainger.com. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. So it's going to be an interesting week because – you know, we'll get a sense of what's happening with the NBA on Thursday, as per the conversation before. And we'll get a sense of what baseball's thinking, as per the conversation earlier with John Heyman. We're getting some answers this week, Teak.
Yeah, we are. Buddy. Hopefully we get sports sooner rather than later as well.
They're coming.
Yeah, of course. It just They're seems coming. Like it's forever away. Even if they do decide or come to decisions, you still got to wait 3 weeks or whatever it may be before we actually see games.
Yeah, but at least, you know, we'll have like footage of, we'll have like, I don't know, interviews after practice and B-roll of guys actually doing something rather than,
Welcome back to Busch Stadium for the 1985 World Series.
I can't watch any of this old stuff anymore. I'm just tired of it.
And I love the history aspect. You know, I'm over it. I need some live stuff. I'm with you, man. Tiki, you ready for the blast here?
Yep, let's get it.
Here it is.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Aaron Donald, he's the Las Vegas favorite, and I'm sure he's the favorite in L.A. as well, to win Defensive Player of the Year this season as a plus 750 favorite. Mm. Is Donald the most valuable non-quarterback player in the NFL?
I mean, if Vegas is giving him plus 750, of course he is. Like, to use the literal term of valuable, yes, he is. But I think in actual terms, he is as well, BT, because he's so disruptive from a tackle position. And, you know, whether you're in a 3 technique or your nose up on the center, like he's just disruptive, and it makes you double team him, which then frees up your edge rusher. So when they had Ndamukong Suh a couple years ago, that's why they were also dominant in that defensive front. They were so good because you have to commit so many resources to Aaron Donald. So I'm going to say, yeah, I mean, Michael Thomas is in that conversation as well. Because without him, I'm not sure Drew Brees has the numbers
and the success
that he's had over the last couple of years. But, I mean, without a doubt, it's Aaron Donald.
Boy, I'm telling you what, I think you're going to change your mind when I give you my answer.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
Derrick Henry.
Take
Derrick Henry off the Tennessee Titans. And what the heck are the Tennessee Titans?
It's a great one.
I rest my case. That was
easy. They're one and done in the postseason.
They're not even in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. That's right, because he needed like 2 epic games at the end of the regular season to get to the postseason, and he had 2 epic games in the postseason.
Yep. They're not a playoff team without
him.
That's
a good point.
They're actually a threat to be, you know, among the best to the top.
The problem, though, BT, he's a running back. Yeah. So he's not gonna get money. He's not gonna get paid. So he's not valuable in that regard.
That's why
I'm being Mr. Literal here. He's not valuable in that regard.
Yeah.
And because he's he led the league in rushing though. So maybe he could win it. Could he win an MVP or at least an Offensive Player of the Year?
Well, yes, he could. Why not?
Maybe.
Todd Gurley almost did.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, think about this. The way Santa framed it. Santa didn't ask about MVP. He just said, is Donald the most valuable non-quarterback in the NFL? Mm. And listen, if you say Donald, I'm not going to say that he's a great player.
But he doesn't put points on the board.
You know, but as great as he was, what did they do a year ago?
That's right.
I mean, Derrick Henry's success was directly correlated to the success of the team's success.
That's right. Because he puts points on the board. He's an offensive player.
Does a lot.
At the end of the day, you can stop a team from scoring, but if it's – what was it in the Super Bowl? 9-3, right? The Patriots when they beat the Rams. What was the Super Bowl score? Whatever it was. It was gross.
No, it wasn't 9-3, but it was 10-3. Whatever it was.
But it was gross,
what a horrible
right?
game.
And, you know,
I don't even remember the score. That's how bad it was. It was the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
I already
forgot the score.
You were watching, but you were tuned out.
it was rough.
Serious.
It was a rough one.
But my point is, as great as Aaron Donald was, I think he was Defensive Player of the Year that year. He can't score points.
Yeah. I got you. All right. And new 24/7 title champion. All right, Rob Gronkowski has been dethroned, pinned. He was pinned while recording a TikTok dance in his backyard. He was doing the old tick and the talk, and he got pinned. 1, 2, 3. The belt is taken away. Gronk goes down. How would we have liked to have seen Gronk lose the title? Well,
J-Truth.
I gave you my scenario where... Because I actually remember when he signed with the Bucks, I said, wait, does he retain the championship? And then you and I talked about that, and I said, well, it's 24/7, so it can conceivably, he could get pinned in the end zone. You know, I mean, and obviously not going to happen during a regular season game, but if you wanted to have a little bit of fun and use the entertainment as, you know, like the moment to you know, really just capture and own social media, have him pinned, even if it's in practice, or have him pinned in... Whatever, in an exhibition game. I thought that would have been the best. Have somebody jump out of the stands. Obviously, old Corey grabs him. Nobody jumps on him. Let him do the deed. Take the belt. Gronk goes down on the turf, and that's it. I thought that would have been phenomenal.
Well, you know, Vince
or getting
McMahon.
Off the team bus or walking into the tunnel on game day when they've got the shot to see what the guys are wearing. Gronk is walking in. Somebody comes out, clotheslines him, pins him on the concrete slab.
Here's my
great.
Here's my conspiracy theory. Vince McMahon, because he 86 the XFL, filing for bankruptcy, and he's not going to buy it back. The NFL loses its kind of partner in developing some of these young talents. So they went to Gronk and said, Gronk, you're not playing in the NFL and being in the WWE. Get rid of it now.
You might be right. you might be right.
Say it. Keep it real.
I am. All right. Jerry Grant, Denver Nuggets, told Chris Haynes of Yahoo that he's leaning towards not opting into his $10 million player option next season. Would that be a mistake for Grant?
This is a hard one, BT, because look, he's competing for playing time with Paul Millsap. But Millsap is, I mean, he's 35, 36 years old.
Just
it's not
going to
be the issue. The issue is going to be Michael Porter Jr., who at 6'10 is a stud. He's a rookie this year. Is he going to start taking minutes from Jerami Grant? The answer is likely yes, even though he's a pretty good three-point shooter, shooting about 40%. He's great from the field, or good from the field, not great, but he's pretty good from the field as well. I think he's 42 or 43%. Could he go someplace else and be more utilized and, you know, play more than 25 minutes a game?
Yep.
The answer is probably yes. I'm going to say, yeah, I think he is good. I think it'd be better for him to opt out, even though it feels like, why, you know, miss out on that money? It's a good number, but it's not like a huge number that he's turning down.
I agree. Why do you opt out? Well, you opt out, as you properly point out. You're not in a position to, you know, really increase your numbers based on minutes distributed or you know, in terms of rate usage, whatever it might be, or both. And, you know, there's going to be no discernible, you know, appreciable uptick from what you did from one year to the other. So you say, well, you know what? Maybe I will opt out. I'll test the market here because nothing's going to really change. Listen, I think that there's enough versatility in Jerami Grant's game where, you know, you get a four-year, I don't know, can you get a four-year, $48 million deal? I'm just throwing numbers. I got to see what happened in China, how much they lost salary. Because there's a lot of play here that I don't really fully know. Can you get 4 years, 48? Yeah, that's better than, you know, 10 years, which will be $40 million over 4 years if you stick it out. So I think he should opt out. I think he will. And I think he'll make a little bit more. I'm not going to break the bank, but he'll make more money. It'll be the right, prudent financial move.
And more importantly, important for him to try to be more than he is right now.
Go to a situation where you get the ball a little bit more, and then maybe you get one more contract. Although at that point, he'd be 30. But still, I mean, not that 30 is the end of the road. But, yeah, the time to opt out is probably now. Yep. Plus, it's a very weak free agent crop this summer. So you obviously have to read who's going to be in the room with you. It's a pretty thin market.
Yep.
All right. How about this? A New York Supreme Court judge dismissed Lenny Dykstra's defamation lawsuit against Ron Darling last week, stating that Dykstra's reputation is so tarnished that he can't be further injured.
Wow.
Is it possible for Dykstra...
That's harsh.
That's a rough one. Is it possible for... You know, we've interviewed Lenny. I love watching Lenny, even as a Yankee fan. I remember, as a matter of fact, Samter, look this up. Now, I'm getting weird on this. You know, I have to make sure I'm right historically, this little snapshot I have in my head. I remember watching Lenny Dykstra's first home run as a pro with my dad in the basement when I believe it was 85. They were playing the Reds at Riverfront Stadium. And I want to say it was off one of two people. It was either off of Mario Soto, who I think it was against, or Jose Rijo. One of those two. Just see if that was his first career home run. I like Lenny. I really do. But the problem with Lenny, even if he says the right thing, and I don't know how else to say it. This is going to sound mean, and I don't mean it to be, because I do like him, though I think he's all over the map. Lenny just sounds disorganized. He doesn't sound coherent. He doesn't. He doesn't. So, no matter, even if he really does take the right steps to, you know, tweak some things and fill in the gaps of where people perceive him to be sloppy or bad or whatever, he's not polished enough where I think it's going to be universally accepted. He's going to be viewed as somebody who's shot. Rightly or wrongly, he doesn't sound great.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it, man.
Yeah,
it
I know what you're saying. It was Mario Soto.
There we go.
BT. Good call.
There we go.
Good call. Can he repair his image is the question. I mean, anybody can repair their image over time. You just got to do 1985 against the Reds.
There we go.
So I'm going to say, yeah, he can. But Is he motivated to do that, really? I don't know.
Is he more motivated to change how he's perceived or dish on other people? Yeah. I don't know. It seems like he's – I could be wrong.
D-Cell just sent me a note. He said he should hire Berkowitz. You know what the interesting thing is?
What, he used to be with Berkowitz?
No, Berkowitz is really close with Cutter Dykstra, who's his son.
His son.
Married to Jamie Lynn Sigler, right?
Lynn.
So, I mean, maybe.
But isn't father and son estranged? Do they?
A little bit.
A little bit. A little estranged.
Yeah.
A little. Think about that. A little estranged.
I mean.
I know what you mean.
I was a little estranged with my father. Until
I got you.
I wasn't.
Okay. I just always took estranged as complete disconnect. I got you. I know what you're saying. Travis Etienne, Clemson running back, says he's bulked up. I got to get your thoughts on this. He's bulked up, and he's put weight on last year by eating Popeyes.
No, come on.
That's what he's saying. Is he a game-changing first-round back? And maybe more specifically, first of all, how many pounds has he put up? Like, that can't be good.
No.
Eating Popeyes chicken to put weight on?
Is this the first name, image, likeness endorsement that we're getting in college football? He's talking about Popeyes.
Wow.
I'm just saying, is Popeyes paying him a little coin to say, hey, I put on some weight by eating Popeyes? Exactly.
I don't know.
Can he be? Yeah, he can be a game changer. He can be a game changer. He's the kind of kid that can go the distance. And the question that you always have with running backs is how durable are you? And weight versus strength is a very big difference. Now, if he put on weight and he's heavy and I don't know,
lethargic,
yeah, and doughy,
yeah,
then no, it's not a good thing. But if he put on weight because he was eating a lot of just calories and getting strong, then I think that's going to be great for him.
I mean, I got
I love him as a player. He's great.
I know you do. You've raved about him. I know you do. Listen, is it just the chicken or is it the biscuits? We're going with the potatoes here. I mean, is it the whole deal?
Is there anything healthy in that? You get a little bit of green?
Exactly right. He's going to be a fullback if this keeps up. All right. The kid's a superstar. I don't think there's any doubt. Where he gets drafted, who knows? Late first, early second, wherever it is. He's going to be a guy, if he's healthy, he's in the right system, that's going to score a lot of touchdowns and soup up a lot of offenses on Sunday. I think we all know that.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
This is something Tegan I'll hit tomorrow. I just saw this on CBSSports.com. NFL tells teams no traveling for training camp, so that's something we'll hit tomorrow. Teak, another good show, buddy. Have a great Tuesday night.
You as well, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody, enjoy what remains of your evening. We'll see you tomorrow on a Wednesday. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Remain safe, remain sensible, and remain sane. And we will catch you tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday night. Bye-bye.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.